Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, I'm Gary YouTube, joined by yet another Gary YouTube, and we're back to do some more Gary YouTubing, this time in the form of a tier list where we're going to rank every single Rock WrestleMania match before WrestleMania 40.
Yes, and I'm excited because he's had a collection of very high-profile WrestleMania matches, but how good are they?
It's a smorgasbord of different kinds of wrestling matches. All the shh. Hit the titles, please, Joel. Just in case you haven't been here before, we're going to put these Rock WrestleMania matches into a tier list ranking from the best, or ranging from the best to lovely, 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 to all right, to just about bearable. And then you want to avoid that bloody bin, don't you?
You do,
that
you do.
Final bin.
Oh my God.
He is the final bin, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The Brahma bin. Other nicknames are available. But at WrestleMania 13 for the Intercontinental title, Rocky Maivia, as he was known back then, defeated the Sultan, who was accompanied by the Iron Sheik and Bob Backlund.
Double heel managers.
Because apparently this was done to get an attempt to get The Rock cheered, or Rocky Maivia cheered, but it still didn't work, having two of the biggest arseholes in professional wrestling history by the Sultan's side.
Yes, I watched this match about half an hour ago, because it's the one I'm least familiar with. I thought I'd refresh my memory.
Just spit out what you want to say.
All right. Before you've done your... Yeah, fair enough.
Go.
It's weird. It's definitely... You can tell it's structured to do that, to get The Rock over. I'm not sure if it works.
It didn't.
Sheik's beating him down and the managers are distracting the ref and all that sort of stuff. There's a moment if you go to... For all the viewers, if you go to 30 minutes exactly in the network time frame... and then wait about 4 seconds. The Rock's firing up. And he does like his punches still have snap, but he's not as cool.
Yeah.
And he goes like, oh, what? And like does a 360. And then
it's proper mid-90s WF, isn't it? Before it got cool.
It doesn't work very well.
But there was a long plot and beatdown from the Sultan, as you would come to expect, which got a decent reaction because the diving headbutt, which was good from him, I guess. There was a long chin lock and boring chance start, which is something I picked up on there. There was a double down spot as well, because obviously when you try to get someone over as a babyface, what you do is have them do really boring moves like a chin lock and a double down thing. And
That came off a big double clothesline, though. It wasn't electrifying.
It wasn't at all. It looked like the Sultan was going to get the job done when he hit a super kick and a pile driver, but Rocky manages to counter another move, and then he wins it with a roll-up. But the fans weren't buying it at all, were they?
No, and it didn't help that obviously he was very inexperienced at the time, but it didn't help that The Rock was clearly in this match, just watching it, just anyone could tell that the Sultan was just a better wrestler at this point.
Yeah.
He hits a lovely pile driver at one point.
Yeah.
I was like, what, Rikishi, look at him go, and a splash. And it's very Uso-esque. You can tell where they got it from.
To be fair, the Rocky does do a nice crossbody off the top himself.
Oh, he flies.
Oh, he flies.
He does fly.
As a match, though, or I should say as well, after the final bell happens, then the heels come in the ring, they beat down Rocky Maivia, which brings out Dwayne's father.
His dad.
The final boss. And they just beat down the heels for a nice moment for the pair of them, but once again, the crowd just weren't buying it.
It's, again, another moment to look out for. When Rocky Johnson is helping save his son, he does a few big right hands, fair enough, then jabs, and his feet are flying. He's like...
Yeah, that's what he did.
And then bang. And nobody's wearing, I think, like dress, like trousers. It looks even better in there. And then him and Rock do a stereo flailing arm taunt into a right hand, and then they take turns body slamming the Iron Sheik, and it's like WrestleMania 3.
It's fantastic. It's not fantastic.
No,
it's fine. Is what it is. I think it's just all right.
Oh, I was going to go just about bearable.
Yeah, I'll go top of bearable.
The reason that I want to downgrade it from all right to just bearable is because if you're trying to get someone over, I don't think it helps that their dad has to save them.
Yeah.
That's quite, yeah. So are you all right with bearable?
Oh, yeah. Top of bearable for me. I don't think it's any more offensive than that. Mm. Is offensive the right word? It's just a fine match what they tried to do didn't happen. That's all it is, isn't it?
It doesn't help that it came on the same show as one of the grittiest, realest matches in WrestleMania history.
Yeah.
Undertaker versus Sid.
I see what he's done there. On to WrestleMania 14 we go once again for the Intercontinental title. The Rock defeats Ken Shamrock by disqualification in a match that lasted 4 minutes and 49 seconds. This is the WrestleMania where Rock spoke to Jennifer Flowers about a potential presidential campaign, and there's hung juries mentioned. And if you smell what the Rock is cooking, that's where that line makes its debut. Just in the build-up to this WrestleMania, just to set the scene a little bit more for this one, he got injured in the aftermath of WrestleMania 13, then he went away for a bit, then he came back as part of the Nation, then he embraced the Die Rocky Die stuff and the heel stuff that was getting put on him, even though he was a babyface at the time, or was supposed to be. And then by the time this match came around, he was slowly taking the power away in the Nation from Big Farouk.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if The Rock got disqualified in this match, he lost the match as well, so he couldn't get a chair in the ring and do stuff. Because that was the big part of the build for this match, is that when you've seen that chair shot from The Rock to Ken Shamrock, yeah, and Ken flops down on his knees to his back, that's in the build of this match up here. So that's why that stipulation was brought in.
The build's so much better than the match.
Yes, it is.
It goes the opposite way around how it should be.
It's just too short, isn't it? Like, the notes I've got written down here, there's big clotheslines early on. The Rock gives a people's elbow before it was popular, so it's weird to see that move not get much of a reaction from the crowd. Then there's a ref down spot. The Rock goes to deliver another massive chair shot to Ken's head. Of course, just going off the back of the one we already saw. And then Ken kicks out of the pinfall that happens after that chair shot. He fights back and wins with an ankle lock. And that's it. After the bell, Farouk comes down as Ken is still beating down The Rock. But then Farouk turns his back on The Rock. Ooh. There's too much bollocks here in such a short space of time.
So who wins in the end then?
So the decision gets reversed.
Right.
Ken then starts beating down all the referees, none of which we've seen before. So they're clearly just, stand-ins to fill the role of bumping boys.
Yes.
Because he starts doing that, the referee reverses the call and The Rock gets the title.
Let's see. I think once the final bells rang, there's no reversing the decision then.
No.
No,
it's not how wrestling works.
It's set in stone. But the streak's alive. The Rock streak. 2-0.
Yep.
It's not. It's not great as a...
I think it's... Maybe it's got a bit more to enjoy than the WrestleMania 13 one, but just as a thing to supple on the old palate, it doesn't quite fit right for me.
The intensity's there more than it was in his Mania debut, definitely. But yeah, the ending's full of bollocks, and I don't like the reversing of the decision. So it's between the two bottom tiers for me.
Yeah. I would put it above WrestleMania 13, but in the same tier.
Okay.
Just because there is so much bollocks in such a short space of time. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm Dutch today. Hello, such a short space of time. But yeah, it's just when you see The Rock as a heel as he was then, and Ken Shamrock is the baddest man on the planet, mm-hmm, wherever he was back then, smacking his head on the ring steps and whatnot. You just want to see Ken batter him.
Yeah.
And he did for a portion, but not enough.
Fair enough, then. It does survive the bin.
It does, yes, just about. Fair enough. WrestleMania 15, business is about to pick up back out, Jim Ross probably said here. When the world title's on the line, of course, no disqualification match. Special referee, kind of Mankind, but not really. As we saw earlier tonight, Mankind took on the Big Show for the right to be the special guest ref in this one. But then there's an attack and the Mankind's at the hospital. Big Show's been arrested or something like that. I can't quite remember what the storyline was.
It was very, very Russo.
It was.
Very twists and turns that didn't really need to be there just for the sake of it.
So Vince comes down and wants to be the referee. Yeah. And then Shawn Michaels, who's the commissioner, comes down and says, there's only one man who can make a referee, and that's me. So get out of here, Vince. But I think he goes like, I might let you come back down later in the match or something like that. He sort of spoils what happens at the end of Shawn Michaels. But this is much better.
Yes, it is. It's even though Russo Mania was in full effect, the magic of the Attitude Era was alive.
It was.
And you can't replicate the sort of the intensity that Rock and Austin had. Even though this was the first example of it at WrestleMania, it was definitely there. It's my least favourite of the trilogy.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
But It's still enjoyable, definitely.
It's got all the hallmarks of the Attitude Era main event. There's a brawl up the ramp. There's tables, spots on the announce table, the Spanish announce table in particular. Cables being wrapped around necks. None of this a disqualification, but of course this isn't a disqualification match. Why I brought that up, I don't know. Multiple referees are down there. Vince then comes down after trying to insert himself at the start, as I mentioned earlier. Foley's then back from the hospital. He can never be killed, Mick Foley.
No.
It's the best match on WrestleMania 15, I would say, but that's not saying too much because in terms of, you know, in-ring quality.
It feels like the only one that, I mean, this could be massively wrong, but it feels like the only one that would have got any length of time. It felt like there was a million matches and they all lasted about 3 minutes.
That was our 2 year though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it was. But this one lasted nearly 17 minutes. Maybe there was a bit too many swerve bros, but this was just a sign of the times, wasn't it? This is what they did back then, and it's definitely the best one we've talked about so far.
Yeah. And then this 1999 was kind of the last year that the Attitude Era was this wacky, and then obviously Russo would leave and things would calm down a bit in 2000, which is widely regarded as an amazing year for WWE. But this was, I don't think that drags this match down too much because it fit the times and it was like a fun mess.
Yeah.
I think a better example of this sort of match might be the one where Austin comes out at Backlash to save The Rock, where it's still a big like schmoz. But this was still, I think, lovely, lovely, lovely.
I think the bottom of lovely, lovely, yes, yeah. By the time we get to the end of the tier, that's where it could be. Mm. That was the first match that Rock wrestled shirtless for a while.
Really?
After his breast reduction surgery.
Yes. I'm not going to judge a man for doing that.
Not me neither. No, I probably need it myself. Anyway, WrestleMania 2000, of course, it was the four-way. Every McMahon in a corner. Bloody hell. Dysfunctional mania. The Rock had Vince in his corner, of course, for this four-way elimination match, which started with punchy brawls. Then Foley and Show repeat their back spot. You know, when Foley's on the back and Big Show flurries himself back from last year's, the previous WrestleMania. But Big Show is the first one out of there because it was such a weird time for the Big Show in the early going of his tenure in WWE.
Yeah.
He cost Vince that match in the cage match.
Yes.
Yeah,
by accident. He threw Austin too hard and he slammed through the cage, yeah.
And then he's just sort of like, he's nothing all of a sudden.
Yeah, he went from bringing in this huge, like, one of WCW's biggest guys, literally their biggest guy, and then he must have fallen out of favour fast. Mm. They gave him a title run in 99 as well.
Yeah.
And then this is off the back of that, and it's just all downhill for a while from here.
They try to keep him strong in this elimination because everyone just gangs up on him, and then eventually The Rock hits the rock bottom to get him out of there. But he's the first one out of there in a match that had Foley in. Foley was retired.
Yeah, he was. He lied to everyone and came back. And Big Show had Shane in his corner. I don't know how he's the first one out with the best in the world, though.
Oh, he wasn't the best in the world back then. He was just a lovely boy who liked doing silly things.
Jumping high.
Yes. That's how the Shane I like to remember. Anyway, Foley and Triple H then start working together, which is unthinkable due to what they'd done a few months before. But then Triple H, of course, is an arsehole because this is the year 2000, and he eliminates Foley next. Then we have Triple H and The Rock just having a classic Attitude Era brawl once again. He's doing pile drivers on the steel steps, the suplexes through the announce tables, the brawls up the ramp. Shane's back down there to do some wrestling with his dad.
Yeah.
But this is before Shane took himself way too seriously, so it's just funny. It's like two lads down the pub, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what
brawl.
It should be.
Yeah. Then there's a 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire introduced into things. Vince is bleeding thanks to Shane, so he's taken to the back by the Stooges. But then he's like prime AEW Cody Rhodes, because Vince comes back down there, like the valiant babyface that he is. And he does the elsewhere. Bro, this time, because Vince hits The Rock upside the head with the chair, even though The Rock was in his corner, which leads to Triple H becoming the first heel in WrestleMania history to win a WrestleMania main event.
I don't know whether it is surprising that it took 16 goes for it to be the heel winning in the main event. I suppose it's not that surprising, really. You always want the Big Show to end on a happy note.
Which they try and do here as well, because it's two chair shots from Vince, which allows Triple H to get the pinfall there, but then it's The Rock comes back and just beats down the heels, and then that's how the show goes off the air.
Well, it's a bit of a happy...
It's kind of, but not really.
It's a strange one, because I did just say before, like, 2000's a great year for WWE, but this main event's actually one of like the bigger missteps of the year.
Yeah.
Because I don't think many people remember it that fondly. I don't remember it that fondly.
No, me neither.
It felt like it should have been what happened the next month, the Backlash, with The Rock beating Triple H 1-on-1. And they could have done, if Foley wanted to be involved, they could have done something else with him elsewhere on the card. Mm. He could have had like a proper, I know he would go on to wrestle more in the years to come, but he could have had a proper like big retirement singles match against someone, and Big Show could have probably beaten someone else. It felt like the only person this really helped was Triple H.
Yeah. And Vince.
Yeah, and
at the
Vince,
time, and Vince's character, I should say. Because that was the main thing again. I know it's Attitude Era, so it is the sign of the times, but it was a little too many bells and whistles once again, you might say.
I would agree. And I don't know where to put it here, because it feels
I think it's lower than 15.
It feels like a better match than the two in Bearable.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of the booking at all.
Yeah.
Mm.
Vince and Shane's bit were funny.
Okay. Is it all right?
Triple H being an arsehole was good. I'm trying to think of all the positives I might lift it up.
Yeah. He was starting to really become like a more than just a B-plus player.
Yeah, it did feel like having Big Show and Mick Foley in there did feel a bit inconsequential in terms of how the match panned out, though.
Yeah.
I'll go the top of Bearable.
Why top not? Of Bearable?
Yeah.
Okay, I
think
agree.
It's better than the first two in there.
I was going to argue. I thought you were going to say all right, and I was going to make an argument for Bearable, but you've gone Bearable, so
I'll go we'll Bearable. Bearable.
Top of Bearable.
Yeah.
It's a better match. It's more of a match than the other two.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to WrestleMania 17 now. This might just scrape into all right. I don't know. No disqualification made just before the bell. No disqualification? Who made that a thing? Said Jim Ross on the call. Steve Austin, of course, defeats The Rock. 28 minutes and 8 seconds. A title change there. The Rock dropping the title here because Steve Austin told us all in the build, didn't he? He would do anything to win that title back, and he bloody sold his soul to the devil, didn't he?
He did. There's so many. Before you talk about what happens in the match, the hype package is the best one ever.
Yes.
Everyone seems to agree. The promo work in the build was exceptional.
I'm a drug addict. He didn't quite say that.
No, but the Austin's character was really good.
A drug of choice is the World Wrestling Federation Championship.
And it was, I just think it maybe is one of it's the best build ever to a WrestleMania main event. One of the best builds ever.
As for what happened in the match there, it was more classic Attitude Era stuff. This is obviously a lot of people consider this the end of it, don't they? The end of the era. Obviously, Austin comes down with a reaction that only maybe the baby Jesus would get.
Yes.
In many places because he's from that state of Texas. Blood really added to this match for me. Both men, not just bleeding a little bit, they were fully like stuck pigs.
Yeah.
The pair of them were. And obviously, they try and redo the WrestleMania 13 sharpshooter spot where The Rock reversed a stunner into the hold and they're both bleeding and whatnot, which added to it. It's just a proper ding dong battle. Stone Cold Steve Austin on his podcast a few years ago broke it down from his perspective, why they did certain things at what moments and whatnot. That's worth a listen.
It's great, isn't it?
He can convey more about this match than I can sat in here with Jack in the studio right now.
He talks about how much he trusts The Rock and how snug they were able to work because of the trust and stuff like that.
But also how they had to protect The Rock's face because he had a film to shoot aftermath of this WrestleMania, didn't he? But they still made him bleed and it was fantastic. Obviously, the thing, because I went back and watched this in full for the first time in a few years, and the thing you notice about Steve Austin is that he does wrestle more like a heel without overtly being a heel, like he's taking the top turnbuckle pad off and stuff, just being a bit more underhanded.
A bit desperate as well. Yeah. Seems like desperation.
Because that's the thing, it fits the story he was telling. Yeah. He's so desperate to win the title back, but he is going to be healed by the end. Stunners, plural, don't get the job done. So Vince obviously is down there, hands Austin the chair, and then one big chair shot to the head gets a near fall. And then from there, I think this is one of the best match finishes ever.
Just because it's brutal.
Not in terms of Austin turning heel, but in terms of how it ended, because it was just realistic, wasn't it? He beat him down. I think it was 11 chair shots, just over and over and over, one back to back to back, and that's how he won.
Yeah.
No Stone Cold Stunner to win the match, just a big old chair shot. That's the word I'm looking for. Stampede.
Festival, yeah. obviously, it turned out to be disastrous for business to turn Austin heel, and he's talked before about how much he regrets it and wished that he'd then stunned Vince to just kind of
keep his heely head, well, baby face with an edge.
But taking all like that side out of it, like how much money they must have lost from this decision and everything, as a story, I think it's excellent. Just the story of Austin and how he'd do anything, like you say, he said in the build-up, and then he did, and he did what everyone thought he would never do. The aftermath didn't work out quite as well, and there was the invasion and all that sort of stuff. But if this is acting as the end of a certain story or the end of the Attitude Era, I think it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Many people, it's arguably the best WrestleMania main event of all time, not just because they're both great wrestlers, but like you say, because the action fit the story. Mm-hmm. He was acting all desperate in that, and that's what they alluded to in the build. It's best for
me. It's got to be in the best. I think we'd be out of a job if we didn't put it in the best.
No,
people would
fantastic.
Come to this office and throw things at us. Anyway, on a WrestleMania X8 we go. The Rock defeats Hollywood Hogan in 16 minutes and 24 seconds. Hogan, of course, left Hall and Nash in the back so he could beat up The Rock on his own, like a true babyface would do. Going back and watching sort of like the build of this WrestleMania, the dude, like, there's a lot of like old Hulkamania footage used. So obviously a lot of people seem to think that like the double turn happened in the match itself and nobody really saw it.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Coming, but I think it was a deliberate ploy by the company. If you go back and watch, because there was a lot of red and yellow seen in the build while obviously Hogan was part of the NWO in this angle.
Okay,
so I think
this
is what they wanted to happen.
Well, they still do a good job at least coaxing that reaction out of the crowd then, if it was a pre-planned thing. I still think it's very impressive what they managed to do.
They apparently like called a lot of the action on the fly in the ring, just reacting off the crowd, because this is what makes it one of my Desert Island Graps matches, this one, just because of the crowd. You won't get a crowd reaction like this in many other matches ever, will you?
When's this going out? Before Mania 40?
Yeah.
We might see a couple of reactions somewhere in the region this year, but we'll have to wait and see.
Which ones?
The main event of night one.
Yeah.
And then maybe the main event of night two.
I reckon night two would be the one. Oh, no, because Dwayne's there, isn't he? Dwayne's been a fantastic
Dwayne will show up at some point in night two, though, surely.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he's in the hospital after Rollins has battered him.
Just to break it down, the standoff at the start before they've even done anything and the reaction they get there is spine tingling. Then they start and Hogan does this shove. And Jerry Lawler, I know his commentary is much maligned for him being a dirty old perv, but his reaction here for Hogan, when Hogan's doing his flexing and whatnot, is absolutely fantastic.
What does he do?
He's literally wanking himself silly. He's just going mad at this 50-year-old man just going like that, and the crowd's going wild around. You just can't help but laugh.
Like Heenan with Luger.
Basically, yeah, but on steroids, it's fantastic.
Nothing. In terms of the magnitude of the reaction.
On a different level. Everybody's cheering everything Hogan does, and eventually we get to the point where everything The Rock does is getting booed. The pops for the back rakes, especially, because again, I went back and watched this match. Back rakes were getting loud pops when Hogan was doing them.
Why did, even when he was at his babyface, Hogan would always scratch people's backs? This strange babyface moveset.
Certainly asked him, could you get that? Yeah. Then we get to the Hulk up. Well, The Rock's beat him down for a while. Then we get to the Hulk up bit. Once again, Jerry Lawler on the call. Absolutely fantastic. Then we get the leg drop, which Rock kicks out of. Jim Ross on the call. He beat Andre the Giant with that move.
That's a good call.
Hogan eventually obviously does the right thing and he passes the torch to The Rock, who then goes away not too long after this, which is a bit of a shame. Obviously not the greatest match in terms of the action. Obviously, you know, the current day wrestlers can all do everything Hogan and Rock do in this match and everything else in the world ever. Hurricane Ranas and all sorts, topes, all that kind of thing. But in terms of just a spectacle, two of the three biggest stars of like the past 20 years in 2002, you would say, with The Rock and Hogan there, and Austin was obviously on the card elsewhere. It's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
It's got to go in the best, otherwise I'm going to just kick off.
Yeah, it's a great three-star match, obviously. Dave Meltzer did give it 3 stars, I think.
What does he know?
I would agree with you. I agree with everything you've said. I do think it has to go in the best as well. And I think...
We'll find out at the end, Jack. We'll do the
quick fire
thing at the end, yes.
And I think another thing to mention is you mentioned JR's call that it back to WrestleMania 3. And it's a similar match where everyone says, you know, Hogan Andre's nothing compared to Steamboat Savage. But in terms of a spectacle and a story, it absolutely is and more. And I think this is a very good, more like a 21st century example of that.
Yes. Look at this analysis here. WrestleMania 19, The Rock then defeats Stone Cold Steve Austin in the third of the trilogy. The Rock's first win in the trilogy, of course. Rock is Hollywood Rock here, and his heel work is fantastic when he puts on Austin's vest and starts doing all sorts of his silly bollocks. It's absolutely fantastic. Then it's just like they've got 17 finishers stored up on. Would it have been Just Bring It, or was Here That Comes the Pain out by that WrestleMania?
I'm not sure when.
One of those two games. Was it Shut Your Mouth? One of those three games. They've got all the finishers stored up and they just start doing finishers to each other. They steal each other's finishers, so they obviously hit the reversal button when one of them tried to do their own finisher. And then it was just The Rock hits three rock bottoms to put Austin away. It's a miracle Steve Austin obviously was in that match because of the high blood pressure issues he had the day before WrestleMania.
He went to hospital, didn't he?
Yeah, it was a lack of sleep and too many Red Bulls, I think it was. Put him in hospital with high blood pressure. He got checked out of the hospital a few hours before WrestleMania started. So the fact he made it through a match like this, it went nearly 18 minutes, is a minor miracle, but I thought it was fantastic.
Everyone loves Flair's retirement, WrestleMania 24, and everyone loves Michael's retirement at 26. But even though it wasn't billed as his retirement, and obviously he had the secret message on his jacket, was it one more run?
Yeah.
OMR?
Yeah.
I think it's every bit as good as that. I really, really like this match.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a great reversal of the story from the previous one where Austin would do everything to win, but now Rock is desperate to prove that he can actually beat Austin after losing to him twice and finally does it. Is this the one as well? I think Rock cuts an amazing pre-match promo where he's being all Hollywood Rock and cocky and everything, but then like the mask slips a bit and he goes like, finally, and everyone's waiting for him to say something and he just goes like, finally, and it's all poignant. I think it's best tier.
That's best tier.
Oh, yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
There we go.
It's in there.
It's
WrestleMania 20, where it all begins again.
Yeah.
A 2-on-3 handicap match, Evolution, which of course was Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair, defeats the Rock and Sock connection of Mick Foley and The Rock in 17 minutes and 9 seconds. Speaking of promos there from The Rock, his promo before this match was fantastic. There's legends in the corridor, the superheroes and trainer in the corridor. Mm. It's the one where he opens the doors and shows the fans in the arena. The people! Ah! It was fantastic. It's everything you couldn't expect from a handicap match involving these lads. Some might even call it Ron Seal.
Mm.
Well, go on then, Joel, put it in this video, why not? From the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
Ron Seal does what it says on the tin.
It does what it says on the tin.
It does. Cactus was doing his elbow off the apron to the floor on Flair. The heels then get on top. It was weird for me seeing The Rock have like singles match portions of the match against Batista and Randy Orton.
Feels like it's never happened, but it did, yeah.
Him and Orton especially have a long stretch in this match, which was just weird to see in hindsight. The spot of the match for me was Ric Flair going for his own people's elbow. He's doing his strut and whatnot. The crowd's laughing. You can hear it. It's fantastic. And The Rock kips up as Ric Flair's back's turned and it hits a spine buster and a people's elbow of his own.
It's sports entertainment.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Foley then gets a good hot tag and then eventually gets beaten down and pinned by Randy Orton. Obviously good for Randy Orton back in 2004 because he was 12 years old. He was 19. He was 23.
That must have been what led to the hardcore match as well.
Backlash was just after this, wasn't it?
His back did get lashed.
Stabbed. Yeah. Backstab. No. It felt a bit long maybe. Like when you get into the closing portion of the match, like past Foley's hot tag, maybe felt like it could have ended a bit sooner than it did. Orton getting the big win, as I said, there was a very good positive for me. It had the right mix of like, you know, storyline bollocks and sports entertainment, but also obviously Mick Foley and Evolution having their issues and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I had enough of that in there as well.
Yeah, I think it's probably, I do agree that it maybe went on a bit too long, but because of the star quality involved and the crowd reaction again and everything, I think it's in Lovely.
Yeah, I'll go
Would
with
you
that.
Lovely as well?
Is it above? Which one's that one? Is that 50? 15?
Austin Rock 1, yeah.
Yeah.
I would put it above it, maybe, but I don't know.
One's a title match and one's just a mid-card.
Okay, I'll put it below it, but just below.
Yeah, we'll go for that one. WrestleMania 28, once in a lifetime. The Rock defeats John Cena in a match, which I didn't realise. Excuse me, I burped there on microphone. Very, very unprofessional. 30 minutes and 35 seconds is the official time for this one. But this might... it's not including this, but it felt like more than that because obviously we have a five-minute performance from MGK.
Yeah.
And then we get John Cena's entrance.
This one's for the underdogs, yo. Yeah. John Cena. It's a really weird thing to say.
Especially by 2012.
That's before I knew who he was, MGK.
Machine Gun Kelly.
He was still a rapper at this point, not an emo singer.
Getting boshed by Kevin Owens off the stage on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we have a 5 minutes performance by the old Mr. WrestleMania, Flo Rida.
Yes.
And then The Rock's entrance happens. It's a tough start.
What do they do? Wild ones.
I think so, yeah.
I want to shut down the club with you. And you.
And then that's a main event match here. It's all about the atmosphere, the spectacle, as we say that. It's like going back to Rock and Hogan in many respects, and just in terms of like the start and the standoffs and whatnot. It delivered in what it was in terms of like a showcase main event match for WrestleMania. Yeah. The Rock, I thought he proved he can still go all the way back in 2012, as we're sat here now. Mm. But he does noticeably get tired halfway through the match there.
I always tell screenshots of this match apart because this is the one we're seeing as wearing blue shorts, and he's obviously wearing like the khaki ones in the rematch. I think it's not as good as Hogan Rock, even though it's a similar sort of match. Would you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
But it mainly because of the length, and they do get tired down the stretch, or Rock definitely does. But I still think it probably exceeded a lot of fears at the time, like, oh, how are these? How's Rock going to do? And I think he did pretty well.
He did pretty well. It's just that you could see, obviously, ring rust is a thing and whatnot, yeah, but yeah. Cena did a good job of carrying him through that second portion of the match. There was lots of near falls. If you loved NXT sort of circa 2016 to 19, you would love this,
this
match.
This is a real black and gold NXT match.
So many that Cena eventually accuses the ref of bribery because they were in Miami.
Oh.
Cena goes for one too many moves, and that move being the people's elbow, which led him to walk straight into the Rock's
straight into his bottom.
He walked straight into
the Rock's bottom.
Head first, right up the people's arsehole for the loss.
That would have pushed it up a tier for me.
It's definitely the weaker of the two Rock Cena matches for me, but it depends. Oh, I think it is.
Really?
I think it is.
I prefer it.
Oh, because the Rock gets a definitive injury in the second one, but I think it was a better match.
Interesting.
His stomach goes in the second one.
I like the finish of this one because in the second one, a thing that takes away from me is that you're almost certain that Cena's going to win that one and get his win back. Whereas this one, genuinely didn't know who was going to win. And for Cena to lose it because he got cocky, I think it's a good story.
Yeah.
And it might have backfired in some places, but not in Miami. Mm. Not with The Rock winning in Miami. Where do you think?
It's got to be at least lovely, surely.
I was
going to
say lovely, but I don't know if it's got quite enough to push it into best.
Yeah.
I'll put it top of lovely, though.
Oh, wow. I won't go against that one.
Okay.
It's in there.
There we go.
Twice in a lifetime, WrestleMania 29, this time the WWE heavyweight title, I think is how it was known back then, wasn't it?
Was it
God,
then?
God, it was so long ago. Whatever, the big gold thing with the logo on. John Cena defeats The Rock this time in 23 minutes, 59 seconds.
Is this your favourite of the two?
Yeah.
Right.
No. I'm getting mixed up. I'll tell you, I'm not awake today.
Okay.
I've written down there myself, lower than 28.
Because I was getting ready to really have an exchange of debates here and say, like, well, why do you prefer 28?
Yeah, because The Rock got an abdominal injury in this match, which completely buggered the match. So, obviously 28's better. Ignore everything you've said for 5 minutes.
I was really polite, actually. I think when you said it, I was like, interesting. Can't wait to hear why you think that. This one, the injury hampers it, but I do sometimes wonder, even if he'd not got injured, I don't know if it would still, in my mind, have matched up as well as 28.
Yeah, because as you mentioned earlier there, and I've got written down in my notes here, predictable winner, because John Cena was sticking around and The Rock was not, especially given the road to WrestleMania that year, with Cena winning the Rumble and Rock ending Punk's massive reign.
Yes.
They really did foreshadow what was going to happen here.
Yes,
telegraph, sorry, that's the right word.
I do wonder if part of why I don't like it is because I'm a big CM Punk fanboy, and this was the Mania that should have been his.
Yes.
But even that aside, I do think that really, it hinders the match and it hindered the Rumble as well.
Yeah.
Because once, I think the Rock Punk was the main event of the Rumble. Mm. And once Cena had won the Rumble, well, you know that Rock's going to win the main event. And I think the Rumble came down to Cena and Ryback. And that was a very obvious
I can't remember the end of that Rumble.
I feel like Ryback might have been the last man out. But either way, that run to WrestleMania was a little bit straightforward for me.
Yeah, so it's 15 minutes into the match where The Rock suffers his injury, which not only blighted this match, but also meant that Paramount had to delay the filming of Hercules.
So
who are the real losers here? The wrestling fans or the Hercules fans? Who knows? It was pretty much the same as the year prior in terms of structure, but then we get finisher near fall. Finisher near fall. Big move near fall.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
The Rock said said in an interview coming out of WrestleMania 29, they were meant to go on for another 10 minutes on top of what we saw if he didn't get injured. And I would argue that just didn't need to happen. So in terms of that, it was a good length, 23 minutes, 59 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just ignore what I said there for a good 5 minute spell. This was worse than 28. I was getting mixed up in my head.
I would agree that it's... I can't remember what I was going to agree with. No, I would agree that it didn't need that extra
10,
however much it would have gone, if he hadn't got injured. But I think fair play to him for even, finishing the match and everything, which he would never not have done because wrestlers are silly.
Especially of his era.
And in the main event of WrestleMania as well.
All right, is it?
Yes, I was going to say all right as well, which has kind of ruined the nice pattern. Or will it enhance it? Well, I can't even click the... There we go.
You've done it.
It looks weird.
We go... It looks like an E to me.
Yeah,
because of the night sky in the background of that second row. Anyway, WrestleMania 32, The Rock defeats Eric Rowan in 6 seconds. This is the one where The Rock made a shoot shock appearance at WrestleMania. Myself and Jack and Sam were on our way to the toilets at the time. And then we heard, if you smell funeral, and we had to go back to our seats in a very quick fashion.
It was like a stampede.
And we all wet ourselves in our seats. The Rock then speaks for 20 minutes and then tells us how many people are in the arena. He might have told a pork pie about that figure.
Maybe.
But it's WrestleMania. All these figures are for sports entertainment. Mm. The Wyatt family then come out to confront The Rock, and I remember shouting in my seat in that stadium, "There's three of you! Attack him! Attack him!"
This was quite near the end of the show. And you've been on the big pints, the big pint cups, I remember. Was that that year?
No, not. Was the year before? Year after, sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was 33.
This one I had a WrestleMania collector's cup of Sprite because I know I had to go back to the hotel and watch the whole show again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Since 33 was the one when you were on the lovely pints.
Oh, yes.
This was still very exciting. I can understand your excitement, even though you wanted the Wyatts to beat him down.
There was three of them. They were on the apron, just stood there, and they did nothing. The Wyatt family came out to speak about Rocky Johnson and paying his taxes and stuff like that, and then apparently the IRS... Or Bray might think IRS is really real, or IRS thinks he's...
Right,
Or whatever happened. Rock bottom, that's all Eric Rowan took, and that was it. Cena then came down for a good old babyface wankathon, given what we've seen a few years previous.
Yeah.
I don't know what you say about this one. It was a six-second match.
Cena's appearance was also unannounced, so that was quite a nice surprise.
Yes.
This is the only Rock match I think either of us have seen live.
Yeah?
And... Definitely me. You as well?
Yeah, I come, yeah.
And I remember thinking, well, even though it wasn't much of a match, at least I've seen the last ever Rock match, which now is not true.
I'm happy this is not the last Rock
true,
match ever.
Yeah, same.
This is not a way to end your career.
I remembered everyone going to the toilet as well because the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders had come out and we all went, there's no match coming on. And his music led to the closest I've ever come to death. Everyone just turning around.
It's like that scene in Tarzan, the animated one, where the elephants are coming through and Tarzan has to evade the elephants. But it's a six-second match. It's one move. The Wyatts were made look like a set of cucks.
So yeah, they were. I always wonder, I like the moment where he whips off his trackies and he's got his gear on underneath. That was a good moment. And I think that I always wondered if it was like not decided until the last minute which one of them he was going to face, because it felt like quite random that Rowan was the one who got in, but I assume it was to protect Bray.
Yeah.
So he wasn't taking the pinfall. I don't know what to think of it because it's barely a match, but it was a really fun live moment.
Yeah.
I don't know how it came across.
It didn't translate for the viewers
people
at home, though, did it?
People don't like Mania 32, do they? No. Even though for us it was like a greatest. So many stars.
Just so many shock appearances. Yeah. Foley, Austin, Michaels, Cena, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's five big ones there.
They're but the biggest
you,
ones.
When you're sat at home, I guess that's not going to translate, is it?
No, I suppose not.
I guess The Rock set his name on fire. That was impressive for everyone to see.
Shaq
was... Oh, yeah, Tatanka.
Oh, yeah. I remember getting a Tatanka.
He was in the Battle Royal. Yeah.
I remember getting a sense of how big Shaq's trainers were from our seats. I was like, look at his trainers.
They were black and white, weren't they? Like a pattern on.
And even though Taker Shane wasn't very good, I'll always respect Shane McMahon because he jumped off a cell for our entertainment that night.
Yeah.
So we had a brilliant time at Mania 32, but not many people seemed to.
This is a bin, isn't it?
No, it's all bad.
It's a 6-second match.
It's bearable.
Fine. It was good when you were there live.
I liked when he set the sign on fire with his flamethrower as well.
Yeah.
The Rock.
It just said The Rock, yeah.
Yeah. And he comes down and he flirts with one of the cheerleaders. He's like, seen my big muscle there? That's a great entrance. I think it's got just enough about it to go into bearable.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it.
Yes. I'm delighted that that's avoided the bin.
Said no Rock matches in the bin. Could this change at WrestleMania 40? Surely not.
Is he an unheralded Mr. WrestleMania?
Well, he's got to go behind The Weeknd. And Flo Rida and Shawn Michaels and Pitbull, yeah. So we go down to the best tier. Any changes you want to make there?
I don't know if many people would agree with this, but I'd rather put Rock Austin 3 ahead of Rock Hogan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, it's your choice.
Oh, this is all
the best,
isn't it?
You're the one who decides the best,
I'm happy with that. Rock Austin 2. Rock Austin 3, Rock Hogan.
I would go Rock Hogan, the best what it's worth.
Which is really nothing.
Whoa. That's one of my matches, isn't it? That's one of my Desert Island grapses.
Yeah.
That's available on the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast feed. Apologies for getting WrestleMania 29 and 28 mixed up.
It's made for a fun moment in the video, isn't it?
Let us know how wrong we are in the comments down below. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is good at the wrestling.
Mm.
Cheers for watching. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
budget. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.